Today, on Commitment to Truth.
It's so easy for people to take the high road in this, right? I don't need you. That's how so many Christians try to live. So I have no relationships with anybody in the church. All of us have a duty to each other to show up, to be involved, to be engaged. That's why it's important to be a part of a local assembly, that somebody knows your name, knows your family, who can identify your face. You follow what I'm saying? And the more church grows, this is what normally happens. Church grows is, well, nobody knows me. Well, it's because you're not making yourself known.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This week, we'll continue a sermon series titled, Your Good Works, a work especially prepared by God. In this series, our pastoral team will encourage the body of Christ to understand that there are good works God has prepared for them, while creating the space for those who respond to confidently walk in them. Here is Pastor Cedric, lead pastor of Commitment Church, with today's message.
Now today, our final 2 points. If you could turn again with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 21, it says this. For the body is not one part, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now, God has arranged the parts, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one part, where would the body be? Verse 20, but now there are many parts, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So, to ensure that we have space here in this church and in the body of Christ, is that one has to really embrace that your good works should fulfill the needs of all. Now, let's dive deeper. It says in verse 21, the eye cannot say that I have no need of you. The word need means this: I have no necessity of you. So in other words, once you become a part of the ecclesia, the body of Christ, no one could ever say, I have no need of you. But then it also means this. No one could ever say, once you become a part of the body of Christ, is that I have no duty to you. You see how it works? Is that I need you, everybody in this room today, everybody's in our first service. I have need for you. Other side of the coin, I have a duty to you. And it's so easy for people to take the high road in this, right? It's like because people are so complicated. We're so crazy and knuckleheaded and disobedient and going on, you know, right? I mean, just describe the adjectives. You know, we're selfish and self-centered and we want to go off the grid, which is now the new term. I'm living off the grid. Right? I'm living off the grid. That's how so many Christians try to live, is off the grid. I don't need you. So I have no relationships with anybody in the church. I don't need you. That's really what we're saying. I don't need you. All I need is my family. All I need is myself. Because it gets complicated when you start extending it, open it. So I don't need you, so I just fly solo. I have no responsibility to you, so I don't show up. I work at my own pace. Think about me and mine and do whatever I want to do, because I have no responsibility to you. I always like to affectionately say this, and I say this to our ministry team leaders. I say, can you imagine if I just chose not to show up? Can you imagine? Church started. It's time to preach. It is like, where's the pastor? He just didn't feel like showing up today. Because I have no duty towards you. But you know, there's times that life is hard. Death happens in my family. Frustration happens in my family. And guess what I still have to do? Show up. Because I have a duty to you. No matter how I'm feeling, no matter if Lisa and I get in an argument the night before, right? No matter, it's like, hey, you better fix it so you can get up here and be at peace before God and man. You better reconcile and don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, because I have a duty. You follow me? All of us have a duty to each other to show up, to be involved, to be engaged. That's why it's important to be a part of a local assembly that somebody knows your name, knows your family, who can identify your face. You follow what I'm saying? That you've been, and the more church grows, this is what normally happens. Church grows is, well, nobody knows me. Well, it's because you're not making yourself known. What do you want to do? Say, no, no one comes to know Jesus anymore because the church is at the right size. Right? No. We understand our duty towards each other. And that we understand we need each other. Solves the problem. Listen to how 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 through 11 describes how we should use, if you would, what God has given us. Verse 10, it says, and each one has received a special gift. Employ it. Employer, employee, you know, you're hired for this. You do what? You do this, whatever you are employed to do. Listen to the definition of this word employ in the Greek. To minister to one. When you do the work, you are ministering to someone. You know, this is not the only form of ministry which you see in front of you today. It also means this, to relieve one's necessity. To provide or take care of, to distribute the things necessary to sustain life. To care, to take care of the poor and the sick. To attend to anything that may serve another's interest. We have a duty towards each other. But this verse goes on to read this way. Again, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the the manifold grace of God. However, it says this, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking actual words of God. You hear that? So whenever you are doing a good work, you're literally speaking the words of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Why? So that in all these things, God may be glorified through Jesus, to whom belongs the glory, dominion, forever. Amen. Or so let it be done. I agree. Our good works should meet each other's needs. But here's our challenge. As you're meeting each other's needs, we have to realize that it's for someone else. It's not for me. But here's the manifold grace of God that's attached to this. Yet, whenever we do good works, somehow, supernaturally, God meets our needs as well. That's why he says it's more blessed to do what? Give than it is to receive. That's why he says the greatest in the kingdom of God is a what? Servant of all. There's something uniquely beneficial when a believer serves. When you begin to serve and help others, somehow it comes back to you even when you're least expecting it. Here's our final point in verses 22 through 25. Again, we're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Is this making sense? Hopefully. It says, on the contrary, it is much truer that the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body which we consider less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And on our less presentable parts become more presentable. Whereas our more presentable parts have no need of it. Now let me pause to interject here something. God is so wise. Let me tell you why. It's because the human tendency is this, is that if we are presentable, or we are the ones who are up front, if we're the ones who are well known, they're the one who most likely you're going to get the what? Glory. The accolades. The thank yous. The that a boys. The that a girls. But what about the men and women who are teaching our kids right now that nobody even knows their name? I get enough. Great message, Pastor. Thank you so much. It really blessed my heart. But what about them? What about the folks in the parking ministry who winter, spring, summer, fall, rain, sleet, snow, they're out there serving, right? But many times it's easy just to walk past them because they're the unseemly parts. Cleaning ministry. You don't notice them until something's not clean. But it's so wise in God's providence that he says, Cedric, you guys and gals who are the more seemingly important parts, understand that I think more highly of the ones that are more unseemly. To me, it is just so God, so wise in God's providence that he shifts the narrative, because our sin nature is to applaud everybody who's performing on the stage. Everybody who's up front, they're, oh, you sing so well, you play so well, oh, that really blessed me. That's the nature of man. That's why we become fans of athletes and fans of music artists, and you follow me? That's why we become fans and fanatic about them. But God says, no, in my kingdom, in my economy, those who you don't applaud, I applaud. Amen. Those who get all the applaud, they don't need any more applaud. Why is that so important? Look at verse 25. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So that there be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same care for one another. The human sinful tendency is, because I have this status, you're not as important as me. Or flip it, because you have that status, I'm not like you, or I'm not as good as you. I can't relate to you. You can't relate to me. That's division. It's division. And that's why if you go deeper here, the word no divisions means, it means no dissension, to split into factions, cliques, right? Well, here's the pastor's group over here. I mean, it's very easy to... This scripture, just to let you know personally, was one of the greatest revelations in leadership conduct that I ever ran across. And can I tell you one thing how God convicted me of one day? I was praying before service. And I think I must have been teaching on the scripture, or somehow the scripture came to mind. The Lord says, oh, you know what? At this time, some of you know Richard Qua. He was working in the parking ministry. Just still small voice. You know Richard likes tea, right? Like, stop what you're doing and go take him some tea. You follow it? It keeps the scales balanced. If someone is always up front, being the instructor of the class. The human tendency is to think that I need no instruction. The human tendency is, well, you're the student. He, she knows everything. Division starts to occur. So our good works, no matter what we do, should never cause division. And whenever you sniff division in your midst, whenever you sniff division among you, whenever you see the enemy trying to come in to disrupt and divide, you have to do something about it and stop it. And that's why no matter what you do, no matter what your good work is, your good work shouldn't start isolating you such as this. Well, you know, I'm part of the prayer ministry, part of the funders ministry of commitment. And, you know, we're about interceding and getting up early. But what about everybody else who don't like getting up early? But you know what can easily happen is, well, you guys are not really, you know, spiritually connected with the Lord because you're not as early. You're not really starting your morning off in prayer. Things like this. It's like, well, God's called me to the children's ministry, but I hate the parents. I don't like adults, but I like kids. I mean, we get weird like that. Well, you know, God has called me to reach the world with the gospel as an evangelist, right? And you know, every day I pray and ask God to give me an opportunity to share the gospel. And if you're not doing that, something's wrong with you. But I ain't wired that way. Well, you know, you're too kind and nice to people. You just tell them the truth. You know, you're too merciful. You give people second chances too much. What if everybody in the church didn't give people second chances? Well, you should just tell them the truth. You know, just tell them what the Bible says. And you, then the one who's like, no, I should never do that. You know, yeah, maybe the one who's like, yeah, you need to speak up. Speaks to that person in a kind way, and that person speaks up. Maybe the one who's more merciful speaks to the one who's a little more vocal and says, tone it down. We have need for each other. Yeah, if you're part of the furnace ministry and prayer ministry, maybe you should provoke people to get up, but do it with grace. Because chances are nobody's going to show up to your prayer meeting if you keep acting that way. Listen to how the scriptures express unity in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. It says, so then you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints. You hear that? Citizens. And are of God's household. We are the same household. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We have the same foundation. Christ Jesus himself is the what? Cornerstone. Same cornerstone, same household, same building, same structure. In whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Didn't say temples, but a holy temple. In whom you are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You see, you hear the unity, you hear the aim, the expressions of the aim, right? Versus a disjointed house and a house that's divided and XYZ, right? So you look at the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is, Paul is talking to the church of Ephesians, and he's, like any good letter when you write someone, you kind of give them a soft introduction of, hey, this is what we're going to talk about. This is what the meat of the letter is going to be. But then typically you at the end, there's a closing when you start trying to recapture and recall some of the things you've said previously in the letter or document. So then you fast forward in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. This then shows us how we get to the place of unity. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Or you can say this. He's given these five influential figures and gifted men and women in the church. For what? It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we do what? All attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about in every wind of doctrine by the trickery of people, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. Here's the tension in the church today. Just big church today. Guys like me, who can fit the category of, you know, prophet, teacher, preacher, evangelist, those who are the equippers, right? We somehow skip over unity. By any means necessary, or by whatever source I get, guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make sure what? That I'm gonna make sure you have knowledge of the Son of God. Come to my Bible study. Don't go to theirs. I can't tell you how many times I've told people, like you, I go out into the highways and the byways and invite people to church. You know what my follow-up axe is, or statement is? Hey, if you want to come to our church, find a good church that's preaching Jesus. Go somewhere. Go somewhere. You don't have to come here. Go somewhere. That's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not heresy, but preaching the gospel, right? So go somewhere, right? So it's not about come to my Bible study, come to my church. It says to a mature man, right? So it's interesting. It's like, okay, I want people to mature. I want people to grow. I want people to get it. I want them to understand the fullness of Christ. I don't want them to be tossed to and fro, you know, and deceived over and over again. But I can't not get there without unity. If I or anyone stands up here, if anyone teaches an engaged group, teaches a next step class, if teaches any class, and there's this concave between you and them, knowledge of the Son of God will be distorted. Because of Jesus, there is no platform. There is no platform. We're all on the same level ground. Because of Jesus, these pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, they are only but a part of the body of Christ themselves. No greater, no lesser. Until we attain the unity of the faith. Speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, that is who? Christ. Even though folks like me and others and all of our other pastors and ministry leaders have the privilege of helping people grow, when you start using your gifts, you will have the privilege of starting to help people grow. The head must remain Christ. Christ must remain the head. From whom the whole body being fitted, held together by what every joint supplies. According to the proper working of each individual part, it causes growth of the body for the building up of itself. Guess what? In love. Right? Think about this. One cannot obtain love without unity. Unity is not absent of what? Love. It's impossible. To say you're one with someone or one with another group of people and there's not a fond affection of love. And it's impossible to be in love and not be unified. So whatever we do, whatever work you do, it should never, ever, ever, ever divide the body of Christ. And if you smell it, you sense it, stop it. Whenever we do good works, it should never, ever, it should only, pardon me, and always bring unity to the body of Christ. Let me end with this. There was a research conducted at Purdue University, and it was called Super Chickens. They conducted an experiment to measure egg production in chickens. He started out with a group of chickens, and they counted how many each one produced. And they took the top producers, and they put them in a category called Super Chickens. They said they did this for 6 generations. Okay, true story. 6 generations, hoping to breed a group of super chickens, high-producing super chicken of eggs. Here's the results. It says over 6 generations, the normal chickens saw their egg production per chicken dramatically increase. On the other hand, it says with the super chickens, they found that only 3 of them were still alive. So the question is why, right? It said it's turned out that super chickens turned into predator chickens. They got better results because they pecked at the other chickens and kept their production low. Sounds like the church every now and then. Some of you lived through 2020, social media 2020. We just pecked and pecked and pecked and pecked and pecked and pecked. You see, that's why that prayer ministry can't peck at those who don't come to prayer. That's why that person who has the gift of teaching can't peck at that one who doesn't study their Bible every day yet. That's why that person who, you know, who's, you know, just don't want to be around teenagers anymore, right? Can't peck at the youth ministry. Well, the youth, why are you doing that? You can't peck because now somehow you became so adult-like you don't like kids anymore and youth. You know, we can't go around pecking and 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 pecking. We can't. Because truth be told, there's not going to be many of us left. That's why most people don't like the church, because they step back and they watch everybody pecking at each other. So what we need to remember is this. God has not created the church for a group of super chickens to compete and destroy one another. Our good works are to always be for the common good. Our good works should always seek to meet the needs of all people. Now, no matter what your strength is, no matter what your passion is, it's still about all people. No matter your good works, you should never, ever, ever, ever divide the church, but it should ultimately create a oneness and a unity that is found in the body of Christ. Amen.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the administrative and executive director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Can I be honest with you today? I like to be honored. Truth be told, if we're honest with each other, you also like to be honored. I don't think anyone wakes up every day and says, I would like to be dishonored at work. I like to be dishonored as a husband or a mom or a dad. I just like to be dishonored as a human being. Well, I think it's honorable to be honored. But the scripture says this, like snow in the summer and rain during harvest, so is honor not for a fool. So what that says to me is, Cedric, if you're acting foolish, chances are you're not going to be honored, because snow doesn't show up during the summertime, right? So if I'm expecting snow, it probably should be wintertime. If I'm expecting heat, it should be in what? In the summertime. So the next time you or I desire to be honored, can we check our hearts? Can we check our track record to see if we are even deserving to be honored? And if we're not honored, could it be we've acted extremely foolish? This is Pastor Cedric of Commitment Church with another Weekly Wire, reminding us all to make sure that we are not acting foolish and expecting to receive honor.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, a teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. We hope you remain engaged in this series as our pastoral team teaches us that there are good works God has prepared for His children, while creating the space for those who respond to confidently walk in them. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.